Good morning. Happy Easter morning. Hopefully all the candy and stuff has been consumed and you're ready to go. You know, got you ready for class this morning. I appreciate you being here. We are continuing a lesson series that we've been teaching on blessings. And specifically, we've talked about two things about our blessings. One of them is the different types of blessings we've had, and then secondly, what is our call? Since we have these blessings, what are we supposed to do with them? And so we've talked not only about, oh goodness, look, we've talked about our physical blessings, our financial blessings, our emotional and relationship blessings, our spiritual blessings. We've talked about all of these different blessings and what we're supposed to do because we have been blessed. And we started the series by talking specifically about, you know, God calls us to bless others with the blessings he gives us to do. So today we'll kind of talk about the same thing. But today is a little bit different because this was the one you might remember for those of you that were here. For those that weren't, I'll explain that at the beginning of class, I put up a whiteboard here and we just started listing all of our blessings. And then we categorized our blessings a bit. I had folks fill out little sticky cards and we, you know, moved them around and things like that. And this was not one of the categories this morning. I added this category. But this category is hardships as a blessing. And I think it's an extreme, hopefully you'll see, it's an extremely biblical topic, but not one we tend to think about a lot. So let's start with a word of prayer and then we'll jump right in. Father, thank you for the chance to be here this morning to think about and to recognize the blessings you give us each day. Father, help us as we recognize these blessings to be able to know how to use these blessings to help spread your word, your love throughout the community. God, we ask your blessings on this class this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about blessings. In fact, our key scripture, just to remind us, is from James 1, which is every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose us, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. So again, I've started each class by asking you kind of a simple question, and that question was, you know, so tell me about your financial blessings or tell me about your physical blessings. So I'm going to ask you, tell me about your hardship blessings. How can hardships be a blessing? That just does not make sense. How could hardships be a blessing? Joy?
Since it's the Easter season, I couldn't help but think when you started this of the one blessing that was the greatest of all for us, and look how Jesus suffered. So
good point.
You start with that. We don't have anything compared to that, but that's the ultimate.
Yeah, and in that case, someone else's pain, issue, and suffering became our blessing. No doubt about that. And we're going to, actually, that'll be our last week. Next week, that'll be our last topic, which is the blessing of salvation. And we'll talk more about that a little bit next week. But thank you, Joy. Other thoughts about how could your hardships and struggles and difficulties be a blessing? Jim?
Well, I can think of one example in our lives. Used to work for Corning, a big Corning, and when the downturn came in photonics, I lost my job, which you'd say, well, that's a hardship, but we ended up here. And so, to some extent, a hardship was not a hardship. It turned into something that was very positive. The other part of it was that as you're going through that, as you're struggling, and you don't, you know, you can't rely on yourself anymore. You have to turn to God. So it can be a faith building kind of lesson.
Two great points. So let's start with this scripture. Oh, I did some cutting and pasting this morning, and I cut this scripture in half. Thanks, sis.
Did you
Well. I'm pretty sure. This is from Romans 8. Well, let's look it up. Romans 8, verse 2. Nope. Okay, someone will tell me where it is as soon as I start to read it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. But if you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, such as a double-minded and unstable in all they do.
Sounds like James.
It is James. It's James 1, in fact. Thank you. It's James 1, verse 2. Thank you, Mickey. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, there you go. Not only should you accept the trials, you should consider them with joy. What do you think about that? Why? Why? Being purified. Interesting. And he goes on to say, you know, let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete. Testing of your faith produces perseverance, is what verse 3 says. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So I'm going to suggest that the first blessing that comes along with trials, temptations, hardships is perseverance. Why is perseverance a blessing? Larry, would you call it? Would you stop that? Larry's back there cooing and gooing. Why is perseverance a blessing, guys? It's not. Or is it? What?
It has to be.
It has to be, because it says it is, right? But why would perseverance be a blessing?
If you stop, you're going to be stuck.
Huh. If you, So if you stop, you're going to get stuck, and it's giving in to the devil. Interesting. C.S. Lewis had a really interesting quote. He said, "Hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny." I really like that. Preparing ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. Can you think of any example from the Bible of someone who persevered and persevered again and persevered again and persevered again, other than Jesus? We won't use the obvious answer here.
Joseph.
Joseph. Right? And what did his perseverance produce? Saved a nation, yeah. Just saving a nation, you know, nothing big. And I love the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorite stories because you can look at the end of his life and you can look backwards and you can see how he persevered through this situation and was blessed and persevered through this situation and this situation and this situation. Also, it's my favorite musical, so, you know, that works too. But, you know, there is something about this idea of being able to recognize that even though it's difficult, it builds within us a strength and a character that allows us to handle other things. Does that make sense? Yeah. Diane?
Well, I've always said, looking back, that things that I've gone through have prepared me for the next thing, and I'm at an age and a point right now where I don't really want to know what could be worse.
What else is there? Yeah. And what happens when it finishes at work? Its work, it says?
Mature and complete.
Mature and complete. I mean, if you think about it, you know, even simple things that we teach our children, there's a lot of perseverance in those kinds of ideas as well, right? We teach them to persevere through this problem or for that situation, or and it builds character and strength in them. God does the same thing for us. So there's one blessing, which is perseverance. Can you think of any others? Here's one. Acts 8:1 says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, there's an interesting reference. Why would I use that as a reference as a blessing of persecution? Persecution has done that throughout time. Persecution has moved people from one place to another and has moved God's message from one place to another. We're not always that anxious to just like Abraham to, you know, get up and go to a different country. We kind of like where we establish roots. And one of the things that persecution has done, one of the blessings that persecution has brought, is that it's pushed the gospel throughout the world. Steve? Say more.
That the message will go out to the whole world. It might not have done that if they decided to just stay in Palestine and not spread it out, but God forced their hands by allowing persecution to take place, and they dispersed, and his prophecy came true.
Mm. By the way, someone needs to write down that this was the first time in my entire life that I ever said to Steve Miller, say more. Okay, so we've got two. Thank you, Steve. We've got two so far. Perseverance, spreading the gospel. Can you think of any others? Here's another. I'll read it to you. You tell me what the blessing is in here. This is from Mark 10:29-31. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions in the age and in the age to come, eternal life. The many who are first will be last, and the last first. So what's the blessing there? First of all, he says when we leave home, mothers, sisters, etc., when we have those kind of hardships, not only will our blessings increase, but so will our persecution. But what does he promise in return? Dan?
I would say supporting a network. I know if I was to travel again, I have a network.
Yeah.
And
right.
Where we've been able to help so many people. And as of late, we've been on the receiving end of a lot of that. And we're really appreciative of that. Yeah. Family can only do so much on those things sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's support and network that they can expand.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, he says, you know, even during hardships, during difficult, different problems, you know, you may lose this, that, something else. But I promise you 10 times that. In this age and in the future. And I got to tell you, I honestly can say I saw personally the scripture fulfilled. Because, would it be 3 weeks ago now? I was standing in India with these children that had lost mothers, brothers, sisters. And they had tenfold what they had. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all of a sudden, these kids don't consider themselves to be familyless. They consider themselves to have a family of 164. Right? So in their case, they've lost these things. I don't know if you know this, by the way, but about 80% of the kids actually have a sibling that's also in the home with them. You know? in the orphanage with them. So they still, in some cases, have that family connection. What I was amazed by is that, with the exception of the new kids that just came about a month ago, the four kids that came a month ago, they kind of held a little close to each other. But the other kids, you can't tell who is their sibling, because they treat each other as if they're all siblings. Next week, I'm going to do the sermon on, I'll give you an update on Angel's Place. And I'm going to start with Song Song, who is a 2.5-year-old little boy that just came to the orphanage, youngest I think we've ever had, actually. And we accepted him because he has four siblings, three of which now are with him at the orphanage, and one who was an infant and was so malnutritioned that we couldn't take him, and we couldn't handle an infant anyway. And so one of the local preachers took him as a foster child. But Song Song is remarkable because he's this 2.5-year-old little boy that everybody is taking care of. I mean, everybody. 15, 18-year-old boys, you know, inviting Song Song, come, you know, be with me. They take care of him in the evenings. They feed him. They make sure everything is, you know, is taken care of. His sisters, I mean, to the point where the poor kid just wants to be put down, you know, because everybody wants to carry him, and, you know. But it's, I believe it's a fulfillment here of where God recognized people that had lost this and just gave them 100-fold. Fascinating. Here's another scripture. This is from 1 Peter. Oh, yeah, go ahead, Jim.
And these same people will see the new family established in church. And it's not unlike anything they were before. And they will have new brothers and new sisters and a new family. And it's called the church.
Thank you, Jim. That's a great point. It's a great point. They may have experienced this tradition, and you know, they were part of, if they were Jews, they were part of a race of people. But this is a family, right? We recognize, we still benefit from that, as Dan said, 2,000 years later. That same idea. I don't know how people exist without it. Now, I've only known it my entire life, you know, because I was raised in a family that was connected to the church all my life. I don't know how people would live without it. It's an amazing blessing. Thank you. 1 Peter 5 says, "Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering as you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So that you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation." So this suggests that, you know, we are part of a family of believers all over the world going through some kind of suffering. How do you feel about that?
I feel that there are a lot of countries that are suffering a whole lot more than we are here.
I think that's true. You know, I wonder, are we suffering the same way? I mentioned to you, I think last week, this election in India and some of the challenges that the Christians are expecting. If the ruling party wins election again, they're expecting a lot more, actually even government-sanctioned persecution against both Christians and in this case also Muslims, because they want to restore India to a Hindu-based country, kind of like Pakistan is a Islam-based country. And so if this goes in that direction, there's going to be a lot more. In the Middle East, you know, those who follow the way have a lot more persecutions than we do. One of the reasons I wanted us to recognize that hardship is a blessing is that sometimes I don't think we have it. It's not always true. It's not always true. But I've been in two places, congregation-wise, where when they had significant hardships, they grew more than they ever did before. At one time, they lost a minister because of, I don't remember the reason, but they found themselves without, you know, kind of a teaching ministry, and so they had to kind of think about it differently, and they grew, you know, very, very quickly. And it is ironically true that some of the fastest growth in Christianity is during times of persecution. It's kind of weird to think about. So I'm suggesting so far, we've talked about the blessing of perseverance, we've talked the blessing that persecution and hard times help to spread the gospel. We've talked here about how, both in this present age, that we can see and others can see the benefit of the sacrifice that's going on across the world. There's four. Here's a fifth one. Let's look at, actually, Romans 18. We won't take the time to read the entire Romans 18, but I'll read the beginning of this passage and maybe the end of it. Romans 18 says, I think it's Romans 8. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, typo. Romans 8. You think I was going to make something up there, didn't you, Mickey? Romans 18. Romans 8 starts with, I consider that our present sufferings. Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And we could read that entire passage, but let's go to the bottom in verse 35, where it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor this present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do we know that? Because when we go through hardships, he demonstrates his faithfulness over and over and over again. I'm almost never on Facebook, but I was getting some emails, sending like 12 of them yesterday, that said someone was trying to get into my Facebook. So I went into the Facebook and I recognized one of the posts was from Ruth. 5 years? 5 years cancer-free, right? It was a hardship. It was a difficult thing. That her statement was something about God be praised or God is good, right? Again, those things demonstrate over and over and over to us that nothing can separate us. Not hardships, not demons, not life nor death, nor present or the future, or height or depth, or anything in all creation can separate us. And if we didn't have hardships, we wouldn't know that. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. You know, that the way we start to recognize the blessings we have is sometimes we have to realize there are times that don't feel like they're being blessed. And we start to recognize the blessings that we have. True. And Robin and Jay, and we could go down our list. Right? And Rudy, and I mean, there are others but it's amazing, and it's hard in the moment, I know. But thankfully, you know, those Joseph moments where we can look back over our lives and see those difficult parts and recognize those were actually a blessing. They may get me thinking differently and working differently, and yeah.
Well, there's it's like the whole gamut of problems here. Troubles, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, dangers, the sword. And having grown up in Northern Ohio and have some sense of
Another example. Good. Thank you for that. I got to tell you, you scared me there for a moment, though. Well, you were talking about the 60s and nakedness, and I thought, I don't want to hear this story. Okay. But it's amazing the things that he includes in this story. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Even in difficult times, we're never separated from the love of God. How about this one? I'm now looking at 2 Corinthians 12. This is the second part of verse 7. It says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Who's speaking here? Paul, yeah. A messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, hardships, persecution, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What's the major point here behind this scripture? Larry? God's grace. And when I am weak, I am strong. What does that mean? When I recognize it ain't me that's making this happen and keeping me, you know, it's not me that makes these things. It's not me. When I recognize that, then I can really be strong. And when do I recognize that? When I can no longer control a situation. You know what I mean? When I can no longer. Yeah, Jim?
This is a good example of when we learn that God's wisdom is different than the wisdom of man. Because for man, you know, I have to be strong and overcome everything. And then I'm successful and great. And God says, that's not the way it is.
Isn't that interesting? You know, if you look at, you know, it's easy. It's easy now that I'm an older parent, right? We always criticize the younger parents, just like our parents criticized us. But it does seem today that parents want everything easy for their children. Let's just say some parents are willing to spend $500,000 to get two kids in USC just so their kids wouldn't get turned down to a major university. Even though they can't row a boat, and even though they weren't smart enough to at least take a picture in the boat. But this happens all the time, right? Again, I work at a university. You would not believe the number of times that parents intervene in situations that, frankly, the kids just need to figure out their own, themselves. That's part of them persevering and understanding and growing. And do you know what I mean? And what does God say? That's part of my plan the whole time. And this is a weird thought, and it just occurred to me. So pardon me if it doesn't make sense. But, you know, if we had stayed in the Garden of Eden, we'd have had an amazing relationship with God. It would be a different relationship with God. And we learned last week that God's plan was from long before the earth was even created to help us have this kind of relationship with God. It's interesting. Interesting. Here's another one. Psalms 34, 17 to 19 says, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them all from their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. If you'd never been rescued, you don't recognize the value of the rescue. How about this one? Here's another one. This is from Matthew 13. You'll recognize this, I think. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. I'm in, 13, verse 18. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and once receives it with joy, but they have no root. They last only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So which type of soil was the one that got choked out because of persecution? And it said it had no root. Yeah? So ironically, I think one of the reasons why hardships are a blessing is it forces you to understand and to cultivate your root and your roots and where they are and who they are and what they should be in God's family. Does that make sense? See, here's another one. Hebrews 12, 5 to 10. And have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement that addressed you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not take light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardships as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. So what does this tell us about a blessing that comes from persecution? It's God's discipline for us. And we should welcome the discipline of a loving and father that's looking for my best interest. Have you ever had that situation? Where something fell apart and later you realized, oh, I get it. Now I know why it fell apart. It was to show me this or to teach me that. I hope you kind of analyze those things historically, because that's what the Spirit is in you to help you do. So another one is discipline. Another blessing that God has is discipline that comes through hardships. Does that one make sense? We okay? Here's number 8. Was that a hand, Diane?
Well, I was just thinking that if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're on the path, you just need to discipline you at that point because things are going to go well. He's only going to discipline you when you're on a path where things are going to fall apart. To get you back to where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a half thought.
That was a half thought. Okay, gotcha. Let's look at this scripture. This is James. Here's where I've goofed my... I cut it in half here. Revelation 2, verse 8 says... To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last who died and has come to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you and will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. I got to tell you, there's something going across our nation right now that really bugs me. And it's this idea of victim. Everybody's a victim. Everybody's a victim. I mean, we even have examples, unfortunately, now where people have pretended to be a victim so that people would look at them as victims. And then those who defend those victims become victims. And it becomes a victim mentality. It's a good thing to be a victim. I do not understand that. My entire life I was taught, don't ever let anyone let you be a victim. Don't, you know. But right now in our culture, it seems like there's this nature of people wanting to be the victim. And it doesn't matter what you're a victim of, almost. It's a victim. This scripture says, you're a victor. Even though all of these horrible, terrible, nasty things, it almost sounded like Alexander there for a minute. Horrible, terrible, no good. Yeah, terrible bad day, right, Alexander? Even though you're having one of those, you're not a victim. You are a victor, even because of those things, even in spite of those things. See, that's a message that I think the world needs. You'd think the world would want. Right now, the world, at least our culture, seems to be wanting a different message. I want to be a victim, because that way I can point at you as something you did wrong. Here, he's saying, yeah, a lot of people are going to do really bad things to you, but you're a victor, not a victim. That's an important lesson, I think, for us to learn from hardships. Blessed are those, is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Again, this is from James. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. So, ironically, you know, when you think about the blessings we have, oh yeah, our financial blessings, our spiritual blessings, our physical blessings, our relationships, the church is a blessing, our salvation is a blessing. All of those things, yes, are blessings. But so are hardships. Because God uses them to move his gospel, to move and mold you. And I know it's weird because, you know, what do you pray for then? Do you pray that hardships stop? Well, probably we do. Do you pray that we learn from the hardships that he chooses not to stop? Maybe we should. That's a tough thing to think about. And again, I love the quote, and I'll come back to it, of C.S. Lewis. Hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. And I think that is part of what God is doing to all of us, is preparing us for some mission, some activity, some work that we are to accomplish. And a lot of times, just like Joseph, the only way we could really understand it is if we have lived through a series of trials and issues and problems, so that we cannot be tripped by those in that final path or opportunity. Make sense? Any other thoughts, concerns, emotional outbursts? Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, I was thinking as you were going through this, there is another aspect of blessing, is when someone else is going through hardship, I'm blessed because now I can be God's hands.
Yeah.
I can be the one that helps fulfill that, you know, what was said in Psalms, that God is going to help them. How is he going to help them? You know, he turned to Esther and said, if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, I'm going to put somebody else in your place, and it will happen. And so he's blessed us in a way that, you know,
yeah,
the people in Manipur have don't. And we have an opportunity. And he looks and says, how are you going?
Thank you for that example. It reminded me of a friend I actually saw this week because her mother passed. I went to the funeral. She was my administrative assistant when I was working at Westinghouse. And while I was working at Westinghouse, she had two sons. One of them struggled a lot with self-esteem and self-issues. And she had just come back from 3 weeks with him at a clinic and helping him trying to get through that. And he committed suicide. And he was successful committing suicide. And obviously you can imagine how that would devastate any mother. Within a month, she was then working at her church's ministry for children and for families, for mothers, for families of children who had committed suicide. She thought it was her calling. Weird way to get a calling, right? But she recognized the hardship in her life. It changed her, but she got through it extremely strongly. And then she started helping other people get through that. Now, I'm not going to say that the reason why he took his life was so she could have that ministry. I don't believe that. But she recognized the hardship and what she could do because of it. And it made an enormous impact on lots of people's lives. So this week, you know, if you have some hardships, look for the blessing in it. It may not be this week. It may not be next week. It may not be this year. It may not be next year. It may be 3 years from now. It may be 10 years from now. It may have been 3 weeks ago. I don't know when it is, but we know it's coming. And we know we're going to see it because God didn't promise us a rose garden. Wasn't there a song like that? I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right.
Now burned its way through my brain.
So, point being, recognize the hardships for what they are, and leverage that sometimes they are there for our discipline, there for us to understand God's grace, there help sometimes for us to understand who God is, that He's rescuing us. It may be to spread the gospel that we are persecuted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you take care of us. And frankly, Father, thank you for the way you minimize hardships on us and you've provided so many blessings to us. We ask, God, that when we do go through those hard times, you help us look for your hand, your message, your support in whatever that hardship may be. We thank you, God, that you've promised to be there through those times to enrich us, to strengthen us, to mold us, to be more perfect in search of you, in your Son. We ask this in His name. Amen. Happy Easter.